Hi there, thanks for joining us today. I'm speaking with Junbei Liu, who is a portfolio manager at Tribeca Investment Partners, and she's responsible for the Alpha Plus Fund. Jun, it's great to talk to you.
It's great to be here. Thank you so much.
There's so much to cover. And I suppose when it comes to the markets, there are any number of things that investors choose to worry about or be encouraged about at the moment. Is there anything that's keeping you up at night in terms of what's going on in the markets?
Look, to be honest, rather than keeping me up at night, it actually keep me very excited at night. So look, I'm one of those investors get very excited when market becomes volatile. Because that just represents opportunity. Last thing an investor want is, market's super expensive and you're forced to pay a lot of money for some little bit of growth. Now, this market is good. There is challenges and uncertainties, but most of them is known within the market. So what are some of those uncertainty? There are things like high inflation. Australian inflation is not too bad, but it's creeping up and it's following the trend. We've got high interest rate going to in the future dent some of the consumer and issues. And then we've got China still in that start-stop sort of reopening trajectory, and its economy is still sort of not really fully reopened. And then we've got the war in Ukraine still on and off. Still taking place, really unresolved. So, all these number of things together, it does mean that, a lot of, you get a lot of share price movement. So that's just a reflection of investors lacking conviction, because they're not sure, nothing's really resolved. They're not sure which way it will go. But the, comforting thing is that we know all of these things. It's in the market. The last thing you want is surprises. Suddenly there's another outbreak somewhere, then that creates problem. But right now, everything's in the market, and corporate earnings so far actually looks pretty good. In the US, you started having a bit of downgrade, but don't forget, US stock index is very much skewed to all these large tech companies, and these are consumer tech companies. So when consumer is going through a slowdown in the next 12 months, surely those companies' earnings will start to fall. So their index is more exposed to earnings downgrade, whereas our index actually, the ASX 200 actually doing pretty well. So far this year, our index is over something like over 11% since July till now. It's done incredibly well. Really a really good environment for active investors to really find those opportunities. Our corporate earnings are still holding up well. Retail are still doing well. Potentially we'll see some soft patch further down the track. But right now, everything's actually looking pretty good for domestic and global. China clearly going through a very soft patch. But the good news is that we are, potentially seeing changes in tone about the COVID zero policy. We can talk going to that extent later on about, what's really changed now compared to before.
You mentioned that you're anticipating some softness in the consumer space, but there's an optimistic Christmas to look forward to in the meantime. What sort of time range are you placing on that soft patch down the track?
Sure. I think at this point, it's really hard for investors to say, I want to go aggressively overweight or buy more retailers, especially discretionary retailers. Obviously, we're heading into softness, but the big part of the reason is that they're cycling some really big numbers. Yes. People just bought too much stuff during lockdown. And I still remember the picture of my rubbish bin full of those boxes oozing out. Come from e-commerce. So, these companies are going through really, really tough periods. One is competition picking up, cost going higher, and then demand is just not going to be there for them. So that part is really difficult. But we do think that this Christmas may still do quite well, quite reasonable net-net, particularly across the food area. We think, people will go out and go to restaurant and things, but this is actually the first Christmas in 3 years that there's no restriction at all. So consumers want to celebrate the Christmas. I think we were talking about before, last Christmas I had to leave lobster outside my parents' house because because I can't see them because we're in different areas and things. But this year, people will get together. They will spend on food and celebration, and they will go to hotel, the restaurants and other, maybe even travel. So all of that together just means Christmas probably doing okay. We've got the Black Friday just around the corner. We think this year we'll probably do all right because consumers are still holding up pretty well here in Australia. We think the net figures will be pretty good, and that should lead to a long sort of spending period into Christmas. Given the consumer confidence, balance sheet at the moment is looking pretty good. You know, I think our Christmas probably, you know, flattish on what it was last year, which will be better than expected because people are expecting a really, really tough Christmas.
We were talking off camera a moment ago about the grocers and Domino's Pizza as being a couple of stocks that you're interested in. Walk us through the thinking around that.
Of course, yeah. So when we talk about, you know, this Christmas be great for celebration, for family to get together, people will spend more on grocery. People will buy more things to celebrate, and I do think this will be a fantastic Christmas for the likes of Woolworths and Coles.
Cost discipline has been quite impressive, hasn't it?
It's impressive, and when you think about it, Woolworths put in a lot of cost during the COVID period. Right. Remember, they put all these stackers, people who lost their job, and just bring them on and do all these things and start putting more costs really just to help out with the economy. They haven't really taken these out, so we do think there's a lot of opportunity for them to start reducing more program efficiency to come through when the top line, I think, will do very well for these guys. They're making big margins. So I think this Christmas is looking very good for these two companies, Metcash in that case. Metcash is a little bit different because they more benefit from people working from home. Yeah. Whereas these two, I think, you know, they've underperformed so much in the last month or so, really represent pretty good opportunity. And it's very defensive. Whether your economic slowdown happens or not, this Christmas is going to be good for these guys. Now, Domino is a little bit different. Domino really, you know, it was $160.
It was an expensive pizza stock.
Oh, it's an incredible piece of pizza. Now it's a share price actually went all the way to $55 and now sort of sitting at that $63, $64. Look, it has some challenges. It has that European exposure. Clearly demand is a little bit slow. And the cost is the biggest thing. You know, the cost growth, delivery costs and food inflation, all of that has been a big thing for this company. So it has downgraded its earning and the share price clearly cratered. But now it represents phenomenal opportunity because you don't buy Domino for next 6 month earning. You buy it for next 5 years earning. And if anything, this company actually has managed to expand its global footprint. It got more geographical exposure like Taiwan and things. So, put that together, I do think Domino represents a really good opportunity on a one-year view. And at the same time, ever since their update about a month ago, the input cost has started falling. So, you know, this company might even have upgrade very soon when some of those cost pressure alleviates. So, I think that's a really interesting, there's a really good risk reward for investors at this point. Even if you have an economic slowdown, normally, Domino does do pretty well in that sort of environment as well.
We not long ago had banks updating on their performance. Was there anything in their numbers that stood out? Their margins held up pretty well.
I know, it's incredible. So I must say, Bank of Queensland was the first one to update. Yep. Everyone got so excited.
That changed the landscape, right, didn't it?
That's right. I saw that the entire banking sector rallying something like 15% in the month. Yep. And then we saw the actual result from ANZ and Westpac. They were all, rather disappointing, to be honest. So Bank of Queensland, essentially, they just had a better margin than expected. No one expected them to benefit so quickly from high margin, high interest rate, and they did. Now, every other banks, the larger banks, have good expectations priced in. People are expecting good things from the banks in this environment. Interest rate going higher and the default rate is still pretty benign. Consumers still holding up, corporates holding up. So all of that environment just means lots of return for banks. Now, my view is that they've done their heavy lifting. The share price already done a lot. It's probably more in the neutral territory now. Okay. And if the economy does start a slowing, you're really looking at about another 6 months of good earnings before the bad debt started picking up and some of those pressure coming through. And the equity market will always look forward. If we head into a soft patch, banks is not a good place to be.
Indeed. So I'm interested in your views on what's going on in China, because as we speak today, there's been some volatility in the markets about renewed lockdowns in China and the like. Some big cities have gone into lockdown. Does that represent an issue for you, or are you still constructive on what the medium term holds in terms of the reopening story?
Of course, yeah. Look, China will reopen. It's just a matter of time. Yep. Now, the policy response now to the COVID outbreak is actually slightly different from what it was before. So before the People's Congress a few weeks ago or a month ago, the lockdown was literally a couple of cases. The entire city was going through hard lockdown. No one allowed to leave, not just neighborhood, the entire city. Yeah. And then more recently, when you know more cases are developing in Beijing and different places, it's more targeted. So it's not like entire city is strict, not allowed to go out of your door and things. It's more targeted with where the outbreak might be. This is at the same time in the last couple of weeks we've seen government talking about economic recovery and focus on some of those things. It's certainly pointing to we are getting into a better, smoother reopening thematic next year. Now we're heading into winter at the moment. Yep. Things are going to be a bit tough. So plus there's not much activity anyway, so you will see a bit more lockdown. Yeah. Trying to keep that numbers down because yeah. They don't really want to go into millions because there's a lot of people in China.
Yeah.
And they don't want it really to be out of control. But at this point, it certainly looks like the reopening is taking place. It's going to be a little bit slow, but it will start early next year.
Yeah.
It does bode pretty well for our commodity sector, for example. A few weeks ago, I had this sharp rally, when the China reopening thematic is coming through. Now since has drifted off a little bit, I do think that sector is going to be very leveraged to reopening. You will have sharp rally like what we've seen a few weeks ago come through again, but potentially offering better buying opportunity in the next few weeks or so, or next month or so, and definitely investors should be positioned for those. Because when it comes, you'll be 20% in a day. It'll be really quick.
Yep. Mm. Now, in terms of, one thing that always polarizes people is the discussion around interest rates and the outlook for where rates are going to peak, what's happening with inflation. How much does that figure into your thinking when you look out over, 3, 6, 9, 12 months?
I think my thinking is the interest rate definitely going higher. But rather than let, I think this is one thing, I do feel everyone has become this bond trader, like macro trader, right? Yeah. It's like bond yields, how many times people told you bond yields going this way, you have to buy that.
Yeah.
Don't invest based on macro because things change very quickly. So I think in this environment is really, I remember in January this year when bond yield was moving away and everything, and healthcare, remember healthcare sector went down massively. Yeah. CSL was sold off something like 18-20% in January. And we look at it, just thought, don't worry about the bond yield. It will normalize over time. And yep. It is low, but it will normalize over time. We know this company will have double-digit growth. It will have defensive growth. And it is core part of portfolio. And just buy it. And don't worry about short-term where the bond yield might go, because you have a view of the long-term. Long-term generally stays at where the inflation is. And then take advantage of the volatility. And then we saw the market rewarded that very, very quickly because very quickly investors realize it's not just top down, it's actually bottom up. It's about what earnings you deliver, whether you can grow. And going forward, I think it's incredibly important to actually get the earnings right, the company's earning. In the next 12 months, economic growth will slow down in Australia and in global, aside from China. Now, when it slows down, you have to be very mindful of the company, the cheap company that is cyclical. So that's earning that's exposed to economic growth or recession. If their earnings going to get downgraded, share price going down. Yeah. So, but for companies that's earning has sustainability or, it's very defensive and they're going to deliver that growth, they will hold their price, if not going higher, as we head into that soft patch. So this is actually a good environment to go through. This is stock picking. This is bottom up stock picking. Find companies that's just being sold off as a blanket sell and hold on to these companies. Make sure they have proper cash flow. They're very defensive business model. Pricing power, this is when you stick to quality. Pricing power, have really strong cash flow. That's very important. And then they will do very well for the portfolio in this environment.
I suppose you've answered my next question in that case, because I was going to say, is there anything that you're steering clear of, with a barge pole? And it's obviously organizations that don't have pricing power, have poor financial hygiene, those types of things, I suppose. Are there any sectors that stand out, or any particular things that you would avoid?
Of course. So I tend to be a little bit contrarian as well. So I tend to avoid a lot of really super hot sectors. So I tend to take profit. I play in them, but I will take profit when I feel they have outperformed quite a lot. I guess one name is lithium sector. They're really hot. And, you know, it's a bit like lithium reminds me of the tech sector, the unprofitable tech sector 2 years ago, or maybe 1.5 years ago, that every person wants to find the next leveraged lithium player. My view is that, look, it's, you know, the long-term thesis is great for the lithium, and there's a lot of demand for it. But in the short term, the price has rallied a lot for not just lithium equity, the actual price for the, you know, underlying commodity. And, you know, yes, China coming back online and things, you know, there will be a reality check for the short term because they just can't trade at the price they do today and not justify that, you know, with heaps of competition coming in, it's just not possible. So, you know, being the most expensive commodity at the moment, it's going to be, I think it's going to be a very volatile ride. And for me, it's something that, you know, I'll sell some of that and take buy some other things that's being sold off now that will have good leverage to the China reopening. So just be mindful of really hot sectors, particularly if they're not profitable. We still have a couple of unprofitable ones still hiding in those names. There's a couple of you know, ESG specialist stocks, things like those carbon stocks and all of that. They're not really profitable. Just be mindful of those concept stocks because you know, money are more expensive now to borrow. So for those companies to justify its longer term return, they need to deliver to milestone. And they just, you know, investors just become more skeptical when the interest rate is so high because, you know, you could just keep it the bank is they're trying to get that spicy growth, I'll call it spicy growth. And so, but you know, yeah, just be mindful of really hot space. And this isn't going to be a market. It's not going to be a smooth sailing, you know, up through from the bottom left to the top right type of trajectory market. It's going to be sideways trending. And although it'll be sideways up, but it will be volatility and take advantage of those ones. You know, want to buy something, do your homework, wait for the price to come to you. And they do.
June, that is great counsel on which to end our conversation. Thanks for so much for your time today.
Thank you for having me.
And thanks very much for joining us for the Executive Series.